Hey there, Mission Auto listeners, and welcome to another episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants, the podcast where we chat about what it takes to create a winning application in today's super competitive landscape. I'm Cleo Handler.
And I'm Stephen Black. We're your official tour guides for this insider's journey. Each week, we tackle a specific topic, giving insight into each of our Ivy League experiences and the applications that got us there. Cleo, why don't you start us off by telling everyone where you went to college?
Well, I went to Yale. I graduated in 2012 with a double major in psychology and theater studies. And what about you, Stephen? I feel like it's a place no one's ever really heard of, but you might as well tell us.
Yeah, it's in a little tiny school in Cambridge, Massachusetts, known as Harvard, which happens to be, you know, known worldwide by people, more so than Yale, which I think only people in the Northeast know about. It's a very tiny school anyway. So,
sometimes they think that you went to jail in other parts of the world. They mishear it, but it is known, I'll tell you that.
I mean, it is a lot like jail, but from what I hear,
I'm going to have to set some things straight.
Meaning that there just are a lot of scenes of people getting beat up in the shower. So it's just what I've heard about Yale anyway. So I graduated in 2007. My major was visual and environmental studies with a focus on film theory.
Great. So I think we're ready to dive in. Last week we talked about the major transition from high school to college and what changes to expect in your academic, personal, and social lives.
This week we're going to chat about that delightfully awkward, incredibly transformative time known as freshman year. Cleo, what were you like as a freshman?
Oh, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and very awkward in all Abercrombie. What about you, Stephen?
Yeah, similarly awkward and, a little uncomfortable. And, I think I was mostly terrified is the word I would use to describe it. So I was quite terrified of this 4 years ahead of me.
Oh, but I hope that, you guys will not be as terrified and awkward as we were if we give you enough good advice to prepare you for your first year of college.
I mean, who are we kidding? You still probably will be awkward and terrified, but that's part of the fun of being a freshman. So let's get to our first topic of the day.
And this is course of study. So when you first arrive freshman year, it might be a little stressful to suddenly feel that there is no set course of study and you have to plan your entire academic life, choose your own path. But actually, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's this sort of academic freedom that's great. I mean, you're not in high school anymore and you don't have anyone telling you what you should and shouldn't take. You have to take AP Calc, AP Bio. So there might be some requirements depending on what school you go to. Like at Harvard, they have the general education requirement, and some schools have less requirements, such as Brown's open curriculum. So if your school has requirements, though, it's a good idea to just, maybe get one or two out of the way during freshman year. But, you don't want to overload yourself because you still need room for that academic freedom, that freedom to explore.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like my first semester of freshman year, I basically created a schedule for myself that was basically like a high school course load. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to have one science, one math, one foreign language, one English, and one history anymore. It's important to have some balance, but you don't have to stick to that very specific mold that you're used to.
Yeah, and so my recommendation is, during your freshman year, there's three kinds of classes that you should take, right? So like I said, first, don't overload yourself with requirements. But so here are the three kinds of classes that you should take in addition to maybe one or two requirements to get one of those out of the way. So you should take at least one class, in the department of the major that interests you most. If that's, you know, the math department, the economics department, the English department, and just make sure it's a popular and not an obscure class, since you want to get a feeling of what the department's like, whether it's a good fit. You want to take at least one class in a department that's peripherally interesting to you, something that like, hey, I'm kind of interested in this. Maybe this might be a potential major. Like, let's see what it's all about. And then you want to take at least one completely random, fun elective topic, elective class. Like that's on a topic that you want to learn more about. My freshman year, I took a class called the English Bible, which was a sort of approach to the Bible as a literary document, and to see, you know, what sort of traditions it came from and where a lot of these stories originated. And it was great. It was an elective, and I learned so much. Cleo, did you take any kinds of fun courses like that your freshman year?
That sounds awesome. Well, my first semester, like I said, I kind of stuck to the traditional format. But the second semester, I started to loosen up a little bit, and I finally allowed myself to take one of the theater studies classes that I'd been wanting to take, but telling myself that I shouldn't. And then, you know, I ended up loving it and double majoring. So don't restrict yourselves just because of what you think is the right path and what you think, you know, is the most sensible.
Yeah, exactly. That's a story that I told last week that I'll recap briefly here, is that I was taking a class on the history of the Middle East, which was it fulfilled a requirement for the general education, which was called the core back in the day. And I was taking it because I thought I should take it. And it was, you know, not interesting. The professor was bad. And I switched into a film class about a month into it. And, you know, lo and behold, I realized I loved it. And that, you know, that's what I wanted to major in. So another tip that we'd like to, you know, give is it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to sometimes take the wrong class. Like Cleo said, that her first semester was kind of like a high school curriculum. But, you know, the overall point is that you don't necessarily have to stick with these classes if you hate them. I mean, know what the deadline to add or drop a course is at your specific school.
That's a great point. I know that my second semester I took organic chemistry and I hated it, and I felt like I shouldn't quit. It was a bad idea to quit. But really, take care of yourself. Drop those classes that you hate. Don't torture yourselves. There's no need to anymore. You can choose what you actually enjoy. So, okay. And one other thing I want to add is that, especially your first semester at college, if you're feeling a little bit lost academically, that's totally normal and natural. And it might be a good time to knock one or two of those requirements out of the way if you don't have a whole lot that you know you're sure about.
Wow. So you were taking Orgo your freshman year. Did you have some slight aspirations to be pre-med?
Oh yes, no, I wasn't just doing it for fun. No, yeah. I was. I thought that I should be pre-med because it was the thing that made sense, and I was a well-rounded student, and I liked science. But again, the major important word there is should. I didn't really, really want to, and by the end of freshman year, I figured that out, and it was kind of a difficult decision. But I realized that it wasn't exactly where my heart lay.
That's a very common experience for freshmen. I had a lot of friends who thought they should be pre-med and were doing something similar to that. So yeah, I mean, the college is your time to find out academically what you really like, and you know, you shouldn't feel like you should sort of do anything. And when looking into classes, another thing that you should keep in mind is, you know, it's important to do your research on each class. You know what the reputation of the professor is, know how students generally feel about it. At Harvard, we have something called the Q Guide, which is, you know, students fill out a survey about a class, what a class is like, and they give feedback on the professor and the workload of the class. And it's really helpful to get a sense of what a class is like. And Harvard also has what's called Shopping Week at the beginning of each semester, right, where you can test classes out before officially registering.
Yeah, and most colleges will have, if they don't have shopping, they'll have something, some sort of course catalog, like course evaluation site, like Steven said, and take advantage of those. You know, they're usually really helpful if you see that someone's getting consistently amazing reviews in a department that you care about. It would probably be a great idea to take that class.
Yeah, so the main point I think that we want to make here is that, the important thing with your classes and your academic course load your freshman year is balance, right? Don't overload yourself with requirements or you'll burn out, and don't take too many electives or you'll have to double up with requirements and courses for your major later on.
Yeah, exactly. And if you go to a school where the amount of credits works out so that you have lighter semesters and heavier semesters, make this a lighter semester. You know, don't overwhelm yourself from the very beginning because you're going to be exploring a lot of other things too, and like social things and extracurricular things, and try to take it easy academically.
Yeah, exactly. You just really you want to make sure that you're not crushing yourself under a massive course load. I think that's a great point. The goal by the end of your freshman year is that after you've dabbled in a few different kinds of courses, including some electives and some in your potential major, you should have a decent idea of what you want to major in. And you should have also taken some classes where you've learned new, fascinating stuff, whether these classes fulfill a requirement or whether they were purely an elective. That's sort of an ideal freshman year that gives you points you in the right direction a little bit, but still allows you to have some classes that expand your other interests. So the next topic we want to talk about is the social scene in college. We touched upon this a
Woo
bit.
woo.
Yeah, I mean it's time to party right now. So get out your solo cups and party hats and let's get to it. The thing we're going to talk about is sort of fitting into your school's social scene. And the reality is that sometimes it's not academics, but rather your social life that causes the most anxiety with freshmen.
Right. And this might go without saying, but it's really huge. Be friendly. Everyone is nervous. Everyone is overwhelmed. If you walk around kind of moping, it's not going to go a long way. But if you smile at everyone and maybe even take some initiative and plan a night out and invite the people in your entryway, like that sort of thing, it's huge for freshmen. Everyone will feel included and will want to be your friends, and that's a great way to get started.
Yeah, and don't be intimidated and try to act like, posture yourself like, "Hey, I got this all figured out," because the reality is all freshmen are clueless, at the outset, and some just fake it better. There's no shame in admitting, "Hey, this is a brand new setting for me, and it's okay that I don't know exactly what's going on." And you want to take small steps. You join clubs that interest you, make a few friends here or there. And the other thing is, don't expect that your social life from the second you walk onto campus is going to be incredible.
Right.
It's something you have to sort of build towards.
And also go to whatever sort of freshman activities fair or extracurricular bazaar or whatever it is that your school offers. Most schools have something like this at the very beginning of freshman year, and it can be totally overwhelming with like every club that exists having a little booth trying to get you to join, having sign-up sheets. But it's a great way to meet people and see what's out there. And walk around, put your name on a few sheets. Don't sign up for 30 of them right off the bat, but get involved and get out there.
Yeah, I definitely signed up for 30 of them right off the bat at the freshman sort of activities fair. And it was fine because I just gave my email and then could take my email off the list of 27 of them. But like, yeah, it was like I was trying to meet new people and but that's a good point that Cleo's making is, yeah, go to these kind of places where you have these opportunities. And so, I mean, a big problem in the social scene of freshman year is that, and this is in terms of, joining too many clubs and also in terms of partying and stuff like that, is that a lot of freshmen, a lot of students, they go out too hard at the beginning. They're suddenly free from restrictions and they can, join whatever clubs they want, and they can go out and stay out until 4 a.m. because, mom's not there to yell at them. But it's easy to burn out, and a lot of students who do this, they do burn out really quickly.
Right. That's like a very valid point. You have to, again, balance is key. Freshman year balance is the thing that you have to keep in mind all the time. Be friendly, make an effort, but don't overload yourself so much that you're exhausted and you get sick and you miss your classes and you fall behind. It can really do damage.
Yeah, so let's segue that into a common sort of freshman question. And this is, something that is a real concern of a lot of people, because it's sort of built into the fabric of our collegiate society, is that a lot of freshmen want to know, do I need to drink alcohol to participate in social activities? And Cleo, what's your take on that?
I don't think you need to at all. I think you have to get used to the idea that it will probably be present at a lot of them, but that means that you can participate if you want. You can have one drink instead of, five. You could have zero drinks if you want. It really doesn't matter, and people are actually, it matters a lot less than you might feel that it does.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with that. You don't need to drink, but you have to be able to accept the reality also that drinking is pretty much a part of every campus in America to some extent, right? I get a lot of international students who are very surprised by this, since they say, "Oh, isn't the law that you can't drink until you're 21?" And it's like, yeah, but in college in America, this is sort of a, it's a thing. It's an accepted evil, if you will, that kids are going to drink, from the time they start college. But not everyone is going to. And there's always going to be that kid who wants to force you to drink and say, "Oh, come on, we're going out tonight, we're partying." But it's usually those kids who are, feeling the most awkward and anxious about themselves, because they're trying to make you join into something with them that they, feels maybe like a little taboo. And then it's validation to have, "Oh, if I convince Cleo to have a few drinks and come out to this party, then, I feel better about myself, because then Cleo's drinking too, and I'm drinking too, and it's all okay." And you just don't have to fall into that.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, if you do and you don't have a lot of experience drinking, just, of course, everyone might be pressuring people to go crazy, but just really, really take it easy. What's right for you, and don't get peer pressured into anything that doesn't feel right.
Yeah, and if you are going to drink, it's something, where you should really know how much you've drank. Don't get into these situations where you're just taking a ton of shots, or you're drinking some kind of mysterious punch that you don't know how much alcohol is really in it. If you're going to drink, do it in moderation, and also know your limit. And another thing also,
Yeah, and beware of those punches, like he said, beware.
yeah, really beware, because they usually taste like they don't have any alcohol in them, and they are pretty much all alcohol. But yeah, stay hydrated too. It's a good idea to drink a glass of water, or other non-alcoholic liquid for every alcoholic beverage that you consume, or else, you're going to get pretty dehydrated, and feel lousy.
Yeah, that is definitely true. One other thing I want to say, just on the social note, is this will transition us into our next topic as well, but make an effort with your roommates. You don't have to be best friends, but it will definitely make your life easier if you guys get along.
Yeah, I mean, like Cleo said, you don't have to be best friends, but you know, it can make your life a little easier. And that is a perfect transition to our third topic of the day, which is roommates.
Okay, so like we said, you may not be best friends with your roommates. That's okay. But it certainly doesn't hurt to be friendly, and at least at the beginning of the year when you're first getting to know each other, to invite them out with you, invite them to join you at the things you're going to. They might figure out later on that it's not really their thing, but at least they feel included.
Yeah, and you know, it's important to note that a lot of freshman housing offices put a good amount of thought into matching you with your roommates, into, you know, making sure that you're somewhat compatible. They're not going to put you together with someone who they feel, you know, just their presence with you is going to start World War III. But, you know, of course, it's not a perfect science. And also not everyone, I know the way it worked at Harvard is you filled out a sort of survey and you know, you tell them what kind of roommate you think you are, and you know, a lot of people don't necessarily tell the truth on those surveys. Like everyone on those surveys says, I'm very clean and neat and also quiet, and it turns out most people in college are sloppy and loud.
Right, exactly. Like I loved my roommate and we were great friends for the entirety of college, but we certainly were pretty different. And I was a vegetarian from California who was interested in acting, and she was like an intense carnivore, really into cooking, from Texas, who like kept steak in our fridge, and like, you know, actually once a boar's head was in the fridge. And you know, she came to one audition with me for the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and you know, died of embarrassment and never came back. So you know, it's good to meet new people, get out of your comfort zone, but it may not be the perfect sort of match.
I'm actually incredibly jealous that you had a roommate who kept a boar's head in the fridge. I mean, and man, all that good meat was wasted on you as a vegetarian. Come on. I mean, you didn't just feel like, you know, taking like, you know, a little bit of a cheek and having a snack?
Oh man, she wouldn't eat any of my flaxseed cookies though, so it evened out.
I don't blame her. But anyway, here's something that I've noticed in college, and it's a common freshman roommate syndrome, and what I like to call instant BFF, right? Is that you're suddenly thrust into this situation and you kind of overcompensate and you say like, oh, you know, we have so much in common. You're my roommate, you know, isn't this great? Like we like the same things and we live together. Like, let's be best friends. A lot of times, you know, in my experience of seeing this with friends of mine, then also with myself in college, this mostly ends kind of ugly. It's the old adage of familiarity breeds contempt, and you know, so do close quarters.
Yep, that's absolutely true. You you know, a lot of people, you're thrust into these close quarters with strangers for the first time. Some of you, you know, maybe have never shared a room before, never shared space, and people have different sorts of ideas about what's okay, you know, when it comes to sharing food, when it comes to cleaning up after yourself. So really, you need to just kind of nip these problems in the bud when they first pop up and try to talk about them in like a, you know, a friendly, understanding way, and try not to let them fester, because I feel like that's where, you know, festering certainly builds up and leads to bigger problems later on.
Yeah, when you sort of harbor these resentments that just, you know, stir inside of you, that's never a good thing. And you want to try your best not to be judgmental or generalize like small things into bigger personality flaws, like, oh my God, my roommate always leaves empty pizza boxes on the common room floor, so that means he is the worst person in the world. and it's easy to do that, like, you know, when you're living in close quarters with someone.
Yeah, that is very, very true. So just try to keep an open mind when you can. And really, it's an exciting time. It's awesome that you're living with people your own age who are really smart and interested in similar things. But, take it day by day. Don't burn yourself out. Take care of yourself. Make sure you sleep. A lot of people want to stay up all night with their roommates every night. And like that can be dangerous. So really just like there's no one telling you to do responsible things anymore. So you kind of have to tell yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to once in a while have the, all night video game session, which happened, my freshman year. But yeah, Cleo's right. You got to take care of yourself. And
Yeah,
I
no,
would
some of
say,
those are great. Some of those are great. Don't get me wrong.
no, for sure. It's just, you don't want to do it all the time. I would say, the best thing to follow is a sort of variation on the golden rule, do unto others. Is, when you're living with these people, you need to learn how to compromise, but don't always make consolations. Like you don't want to, you want to find that middle ground. And, at this and the same idea, you don't want to take advantage of someone, like say, oh, this person is, letting me just kind of roll all over them and use their toothpaste and eat all their food and stuff like that. So you don't want to do that. But then you don't want to let someone take advantage of you in the same way. So it's, finding that happy medium and, doing unto your roommates as you would have done to you.
Right, absolutely. And another thing that I just want to briefly touch on that comes into play here is like buying furniture. This is really like don't get into a situation where you feel like you're spending way more money than you want to spend, or your roommate is picking out everything and you hate it and they're making you pay for it. Just really try to be fair about it and try to split it equally when you can, or understand that like the couch belongs to them and they're going to take it with them after this year or something like that. You just really want to be very clear about all that stuff so it doesn't build up and build resentment later on.
That's a great point. Furniture, the furniture buying experience can, really it can produce some hurt feelings and stuff like that. I mean, just be conscious of the fact that, like, yeah, the general idea is just to split, everything to, throw in some money here and there, or to just say like, hey, look, I'll bring the TV, like you buy the couch, and at the end of the year you can take that, I'll take this, whatever. And that's, yeah.
Right.
And so that's a situation. It's that furniture buying situation is like one of your first lessons on like how to live with a perfect stranger, right? Because you're sort of
Right.
thrust into that. And
And you may have heard that like IKEA is the first test for a marriage. It's the same for roommates.
yeah, it really is. And yeah, so furniture aside, the biggest takeaway point that I'd like, people to have in the roommate situation is to be open to learning from others. Not everyone comes from the same background as you. Not everyone is a vegetarian from California, or not everyone is a movie-loving Jewish guy from New Jersey. And so, yeah, they come from all over the world and all over the country. And the best part about living with people from different situations is that you can really learn a lot.
Right. Try to think about it as the exciting, awesome experience that it is, but also understand that it might not be perfect all the time, and those bumps just make it more interesting later on.
Yeah, I mean, during my freshman year, I had three roommates, and one of them I thought from, I had the instant BFF syndrome where I thought, hey, this kind of guy is the kind of guy who's going to be my best friend for life. And that lasted about a month or two. And, we ended up not really being friends. And then I had another roommate who was from Malaysia, a really nice guy named Adrian. But we didn't really get along at first. And for the first half of freshman year, we kind of kept to ourselves, and he was sort of very different from me, and I was different from him, and we both knew that. But as the year went on, we started kind of learning from each other. I mean, we would like go out to dinner, and I would tell him about, you know, what the custom of tipping and splitting bills is like in America. And you know, he taught me a ton. Like, he just was has an encyclopedic knowledge of like classical music. And by the end of the year, we were actually great friends, and we had sort of learned from each other, and we're still friends to this day. And you know, those are the kind of experiences that you need to be open to having freshman year, is that, you know, it's not going to turn out exactly as you think, especially with roommates. And so just keep an open mind, be open to learning from others, and know that, you know, you don't have to be best friends with everybody, and just let things sort of naturally happen.
Yeah, exactly. And as you do, you might want to keep some of our freshman do's and don'ts in mind.
Nice. So these are some quick tips where we tell you what to do, what not to do in your freshman year. And hopefully these'll make you laugh, and also inform you of stuff that, you know, we didn't necessarily know. So the first one is, do introduce yourself to other freshmen and make new friends, of course, but don't wear your school lanyard or keychain with your student ID around your neck. This is a freshman faux pas
Oh.
that happens all over the country. And yeah, you look kind of nerdy, so.
It's the worst. Okay, tip number two. Do put yourself out there and try to meet new people, but don't stay out all night, sleep through your classes.
And that brings us to our third do and don't, which is do ask good questions in class, of course. But don't ask questions that are thinly veiled statements meant to show how smart you are. That is annoying.
Oof.
Like, don't be that guy in section who's like, oh, I have a question. You know, in 1974, when the blah, 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 here's everything I know about that. What do you think about that? And it's like, that's not a question.
That's just a rant because you want to show off. But the next point we're going to get into is do get involved, sign up for stuff, and join clubs. And don't overextend yourself right off the bat and leave no time for work or just pure hanging out. There's a lot of new stuff happening at the beginning of college, and you need some downtime to process it all.
Solid advice. So, do eat healthy and take care of yourself to avoid the freshman 15, which everybody knows what that is. But don't incessantly and neurotically use the phrase freshman 15 around meal times. Like, oh my God, are you really going to eat that Chickwich sandwich? Haven't you ever heard of the freshman 15? People.
Oh.
And people will not appreciate you in that scenario.
That's awful. But, you know, the occasional 2 a.m. slice of pizza is just fine.
For sure.
Okay, so do feel free to explore your individual personality, alter your high school style a bit, try out something new. Don't lose track of who you are or get peer pressured into anything you don't want to do or, you know, go out and dye your hair purple the second day of college because someone told you to.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I always think of the terrible Pauly Shore movie Son-in-Law, where the girl goes out to California for college and just suddenly changes everything, like her hair color, she gets tattooed, and she becomes a completely different person. Yeah, you don't want to necessarily do that. So do engage in stimulating intellectual conversation with friends and classmates, but don't talk about grades, how much work you have, or what you got on your SATs. I mean, this ain't high school anymore, so I want to avoid those topics.
And the last point I have for you guys is do go outside without that extra layer if you want, because mom's not there to remind you, and that's cool. But don't be like me and wear flip-flops in January and make yourself sick.
Yeah. So did you have a bit of weather denial coming from California that you were like, it shouldn't
Oh
be
my
cold in
God.
January.
The thing is, on the East Coast, sun doesn't necessarily mean warmth.
Yeah, that's an important thing to learn for sure in the winter, yeah.
It took a while. Yeah, it really did. So overall, guys, I really hope that this has been informative for you. To do a brief recap on our freshman year topic, so we talked about courses of study. Balance is key, remember. We talked about fitting into your school's social scene, taking small steps and not burning out. And we talked about roommates. Always remember to follow the golden rule.
Next week, we're going to talk about one of the most important decisions you'll make in your college career, selecting your major.
We want to thank you all for joining us on this episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants. We hope that our advice helps you get that much closer to achieving application success.
Please don't hesitate to email us with any questions, and we'll make sure to answer as many as we can in future episodes. Hit us up at podcast@admissionado.com.
We're excited to hear from you. Questions, comments, feedback, whatever's on your mind. All right, Stephen, that's all for this week.
Join Cleo and me next time for another installment of the League of Extraordinary Applicants.